Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Hope you're ready for a big week.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great.
That's good.
Of course.
In case you don't know, I'm Rod Peterson, the host of the show. He's Darren DuPont, the co-host of the show. We're a team like I'm Jerry Jones. He's Mike McCarthy.
I'm the new guy in town, and I don't know if I'm that well-liked.
Better than the last guy.
Yes.
You can tell a lot of football coming up on the program today. That's one of the topics in our magnificent seven topics that we're going to be covering for you here in the rollout for Flooring Superstores. And throughout today's program, also coming up today, the head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, Paul LaPolice, will be joining us live here in Hour 1. Nick Lewis, CFL receiving king, and Darren Bombing from TSN Winnipeg will be joining us along the way. Of course, I had my magnificent seven topics all picked out, and then huge breaking news came down the pipe this morning. If you haven't heard, at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, which is what we are, the Montreal Alouettes will be announcing, we're told, their new ownership group. Now, I'm sure a lot of folks say, oh, ownership, who cares? If you really care about the league and you care about sports business, it's really big news. I have no idea who it'll be. I pray that it's the Montreal Canadiens that have bought the Alouettes for my own reasons that we can get into, but it's a big news day.
Huge news day. Huge news day. That's big for the CFL. That's big for the Montreal Alouettes, the Montreal community. Yeah, I don't know who it's going to be, but I hope it's somebody like the Canadiens or some local group in Montreal that really is going to push this team forward back to where they were.
Well, what we're excited about is we are going to have Paul LaPolice in Hour 1 right at 10:30. We asked if we could move Lapo's time so we could go live with the announcement to Montreal, but we can't. Lapo can't do that. So right in the middle of the interview, we'll announce the news and keep going with Lapo. He'll be interested too.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, the magnificent seven topics of the program today. You're going to say something?
Well, yeah, I didn't know you were going to keep. You keep going back to it, which is great. But the Western reference to the Magnificent Seven, I like it. I like it.
Well, I can't. It's not going to be seven every day. Some days it'll be eight topics. In that case, it'll be the Great Eight.
I got the song in my head now.
Stuff
from
like
the Magnificent Seven.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
Topic one: World Juniors. Canada beating Russia 4-3 on Sunday. We all saw it. We all have some stories on it. Topic two: NFL Wild Card Weekend. Houston, Tennessee, Minnesota, Seattle all won and moved on. We'll talk about that. Officiating, of course, was all the talk in all the games, particularly the World Junior gold medal game, plus yesterday's Saints-Vikings game. My question is, will we ever accept that officiating is just part of the game and bad calls? Will we ever accept that and stop talking about it? Or have the leagues just resigned themselves to, let the fans and the teams bitch, we're just going to move on? That would be my guess. That's the only way. All these years, how else are you going to deal with it?
It's the only way now.
It's the only way.
Because of the video replay and because of PVR and because I can go back and look at it and show you time and we can watch it over and over and over again and we can know they're wrong. And if your team gets screwed, you're going to be upset about it. But officiating is part of the game. And as I believe it was Michael Strahan said a few years ago, there's three teams on the field, the home team, the visiting team, and the officiating team. And it's always the officials who make the fewest mistakes. Drop passes, missed blocks, interceptions. It's always the officials who make the fewest number of mistakes.
And also easy targets to blame.
Easy.
Topic four, Cowboys firing Jason Garrett. What's his legacy? I will take a quote from Chris Jones and say, well, moderately successful for Jason Garrett. And that's coming from a Cowboys fan. Number five, the Nick Arbuckle trade on Friday that came out of nowhere. The new quarterback of the Ottawa Red Blacks, and we'll have their head coach, Paul LaPolice, to talk about it later on. The future of Tom Brady, which you guys were talking about, you and Tyler Gross, our sales manager, he's the Patriots fan who's got to pick his lip up off the floor if he's going to go to these meetings around town he's bragging about today. And then seven, WHL trade deadline is coming up this Friday. I want to get into it. because it's one of my favorite leagues, the Dub, yet I sent a text message to a general manager in the league on the weekend. He didn't even want to talk about if they were in on Max Paddock or what's the asking price for Max Paddock, the starting goalie of the Regina Pats, the nephew of the general manager, John Paddock. And I'm like, if you guys don't want to answer these questions, I don't want to be a pain in your ass. So we just won't cover it and we'll move on.
Yeah, it's tough.
Sorry, but that's...
And I understand it from your perspective, too, in the fact that there's nobody really contending in the area. So is there a lot of interest? Now, there's interest in the rebuild in Regina with Max Paddock potentially being a target to do that. And the Blades, depending on what they do, that's pretty interesting. But with Swift Current, Moose Jaw, rebuilding years, it's tough to really get hyped up because they're not buying like they were a couple of years ago, which was then really exciting.
Well, 15, 20 years ago, we knew the asking price for the top quality blue chip guys. And now the personnel doesn't want to talk about it, so that's fine. We'll just go on and talk about something else. And as the week goes along, the deadline's Friday, we'll have a little bit of talk about it. And that's their right to not talk about it, but doesn't really do much to get people interested.
That's
right. So as I go along, I see we've got viewers from Cochrane, Alberta, Saskatoon, Victoria, BC. Let us know where you're watching from this morning. We appreciate that. We always like that. Norway chiming in from Trent. He goes, I appreciated Canada's effort at the World Juniors over the Russians. Congratulations to all. Hope the Alouettes get the right ownership in place. Have a good day. Trent in Norway. Thank you, Trent. I appreciate that. So that's a buffet. Here's my biggest guffaw, my biggest brain cramp of the weekend. Leaving the house with 10 minutes to go in the World Junior game, thinking I could listen on my phone on satellite radio on the NHL channel, and they're playing the Sharks and the Caps, a game that not even Sharks fans care about, instead of the World Junior game. And I'm pulling my hair out. I'm getting gas. I'm doing a few. I know it wasn't a smart thing to leave the house, but I thought it was over. Yeah. Sorry. And then all the controversy happened in the last 5 minutes.
Everything happened in the last 10 minutes of that game with Canada, you know, coming back. Barrett Hayton, you didn't even know if he was going to play in the game with that shoulder, but he scores one of the greatest goals. And Akil Thomas, I tweeted this year's version of Tyler Steenbergen, who Swift Current fans will know, doesn't get anything going, no goals all tournament, and he gets the biggest one, the game winner, late in that game. And then, yeah, the camera, who we're seeing countless pictures on social media with a gold medal around the camera. Does it deserve to be credited for that win? It's interesting because everybody's putting the rules out, hey? If a puck hits the score clock over top of the ice or a structure over it, it's dead, no penalty. But the camera wasn't over the ice, and TSN pointed it out, and they showed it, and it's just behind, so it's out of play, and that was what they did. But it's got to be worse for the Russians because it's a TSN camera from Canada, you know, for the Canadian broadcast. And that's what gets them. Now, it doesn't mean they would have won the game. They were still losing, but they were putting pressure on. It would have given them an extra opportunity. And then the captain with that boneheaded move playing the puck with the broken stick. I know there wasn't much time left, but 37 seconds left. The net's empty. You're controlling it. Hofer had to make a big save. They had pressure on. That's a mental error that you can't make. So, but Canada deserved it. It's not like they didn't deserve the win.
No, and for those that don't know, clearly a lot of our viewers were tuned in, but it was Canada that cleared the zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it hit the camera. It's pretty
simple.
Went out of play, hit the camera. And now people are arguing here. Nelson says that camera's 2 feet out of play. Well, it wasn't the score clock.
No.
So anyways, this is funny. Everybody's writing in saying Channel 167 had it on satellite radio. I know, but all tournament NHL radio had it. I've been listening to the games on Sirius NHL radio. And then on the gold medal game, they switch it to another channel? How would I know? Yeah. I shouldn't have left the house. It's on me. It's my bad. George Hamiluk says apparently the game was on CJME radio. Good morning from Regina. Again, how would we know? You don't carry the games all tournament and then you decide to pick up the gold?
Yeah.
Consistency is where it's at. How many times have I told you that?
Consistency. I've heard that from you.
Topic two, Titans beating the Patriots on Saturday night.
Oh,
didn't look like a real racetrack up and down the...
No, well, it was early. Like, Tom Brady was throwing a great football, goes down the field with a great drive, turns into a field goal, and then Ryan Tannehill looks great, goes right back the other way, and they have a touchdown. But other than that, You know, the Patriots came back, got another touchdown. The first two drives were awesome. Titans, at the end of the half, got on the board with another touchdown to take the lead. And then Tennessee kept Tom Brady out of the end zone and off the scoreboard completely the entire second half. That was pretty impressive. And Derrick Henry, who we've all fallen in love with, I hope.
speak for yourself.
170-some yards on the ground. He was great. The defense was good. But isn't it funny? And I know you probably feel this way with your teams, and other teams do too, other fans do. But Tom throws that pick six to Logan Ryan, who dropped a sure interception
on the last
play
of the game.
On one of the last plays, with 9 seconds left, throws a pick six when it's...
Can I say the last play that mattered?
The last play that mattered. When it was a one-point game, throws the pick six. So Tennessee goes for two. And is it weird that I thought that they had to get the two-point conversion? Because they go up, and to make that would have made it a nine-point game. And Tom, with 9 seconds left in the game, I thought he had a chance to go down the field and still win the football game. With 9 seconds over to tie the football game. That's how trained I am as a Titans fan for disappointment, and how you're trained for New England to just find a way no matter what. But no, it was really fun. Watched it with our friends at Ballers. And that was really great. Mom and Dad were there too. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
That's good. Well, the game, it was three quarters of the way through the Houston-Buffalo game that I'm like, this is boring. So I decided to tweet as such. I don't know if you saw the reaction to that. I got buried. And of course, then the game sparks up.
Did you get one of these tweets? This tweet didn't age well?
Oh, I got a ton of those. And Ben Hebert was all over me about how much better the NFL is than the CFL. And I said, oh, it's just like curling. The players only play 15 minutes. He actually laughed at that. I thought Ben was going to kick the crap out of me. I thought he would have, but he didn't. He took it in the spirit of what he could, exactly. Anyways, I went to the hockey game that night when your Patriots were playing, or your Titans were playing the Patriots, and the game, I go into the scouts room, which frankly is the biggest reason why I go to Pat's games, is go to the media room before the game to chat with all the NHL and WHL scouts and some of the junior A scouts, and they're all around the TV watching the game. And the game was going on so long. And Al Murray, who's the head scout and I think assistant GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, said to me, nobody wants to win this game. And I'm like, no, they don't. They keep fumbling it all over the place and taking 40-yard sacks. Finally, it was the anthem's going. We're watching the game. It's like, we got to go. We came to watch the hockey game, not the football game.
Yeah.
So it was like a four-hour-plus game.
Houston-Buffalo game.
But in the end, I understand, two of the four games went to overtime, and there was enough drama there. I just think that in the CFL playoffs, the game's just a little more wide open. It's a more wide-open game. There was only one team out of the eight scored over 20 points this weekend and took overtime to do it.
Yeah.
So that's all that I'm saying. But, you know, Twitter, people love to get in Twitter wars.
But that's what I love about it is they're different. And so as a sports fan, I can enjoy both and really enjoy both because they're different sports in a way. They're different games. And so the Canadian game is a lot of fun. Offense, you're always in a game. You just feel like there's a chance. Same thing in the NFL, but it's just different. And I love that it's different. You're not bored of it. Why can't you be fans of both, right?
Tom Geiger writes in and he says, consistency. It's why the Rod Squad always tunes in, especially after this weekend of sports. Consistency. If you ever bought my manual on social media, there's one key point in there in the end. Some of my favorite quotes, which I think you can buy from our online store here. But put the camera over here for a sec, guys. If you don't, it was Ray Bourque. And I asked Ray Bourque, not even on the mic, but it was just visiting like this. I said, Ray, what was your secret to success? 1,000-plus games, 1,000-plus points. As a defenseman, Ray, what was your secret? What would you tell people? Do you remember what he said? When I put it in the book. Off the glass and out. Off the glass and out. Off the glass and out. He goes, I did it 30 times a game. Simple. Off the glass and out. Never got in trouble. It's consistency. I'll be here every day. Not like radio shows that you turn on and you don't know who's going to be hosting on any given day. I'll be here every day. Consistency, off the glass and out, off the glass and out, off the glass and out. Thank Ray Bourque.
That's awesome.
Not me.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, consistency. And I always, you know, you talk about defensemen and you'll hear, well, I haven't heard a lot of, let's say, Kalen Addison. Haven't heard a lot from Kalen Addison tonight. That's a great thing.
That's a good thing
for a defenseman.
Well, speaking of, and I didn't have in my magnificent seven topics, the Oilers beating the Bruins on Saturday, but Ethan Bear, who we love, Ethan Bear, all of a Chappaways, watches every morning out there where he's from, but I'm watching the game and I'm like, turnovers, but then he'll send a 100-foot pass on the tape of Connor McDavid, right? It's high risk, high reward with Ethan Bear, formerly the Seattle Thunderbirds from Ochapaway's First Nation. They got him listed as Regina. There's two Reginas listed on the Oilers roster, by the way. Ethan Bear being one, Josh Archibald the other. Nobody from Regina knows Archibald. But anyways, I'm tweeting with Robin Brownlee back and forth, legendary Edmonton sports writer. And I said, you can't take your eyes off Ethan. And he goes, he's a threat at both ends today. Anyways, it was a great sports weekend. And this is the rollout for Flooring Superstores. We'll just continue the discussion. Coming up, Paul Appelese in the next block. Nick Lewis in hour two. Darren Bombing from TSN Winnipeg. Thank you, Swift Current. We see you, Swift Current. Thank you, Swites. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. It's time to trade and upgrade at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got more breaking news coming up for you, and it's not good. Other breaking news, the Alouettes in 10 minutes time-ish will be announcing their new owner. I'm praying it's the Montreal Canadiens buying them, but I'm not sure whether it is or not. Monday morning sports update, make it 18 gold medals for Canada at the World Juniors. Akil Thomas scored with 3:58 to go in the third to secure a 4-3 comeback win over Russia in the finals at the under-20 tournament in the Czech Republic. Dylan Dubé scored in the seventh round of the shootout to give the Flames a 5-4 comeback win over the Wild and Mini. Calgary is 4-0 in shootouts this season. Adam Boqvist snapped a third-period tie, and the Chicago Blackhawks rallied past the lowly Detroit Red Wings 4-2. Dylan Strome also scored for Chicago, who won for the fourth time in five games. Nick Foles wasn't around to rescue Philadelphia this time. 40-year-old Josh McCown stepped in for the Eagles after Carson Wentz went down with an injury, but he couldn't lead the Eagles into the end zone as the Seahawks came away with a 17-9 win in the NFC Wild Card playoffs. Seattle will face the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round next weekend. The Minnesota Vikings will face the top-seeded 49ers in San Francisco Saturday afternoon in the divisional round after beating the Saints 26-20 in overtime Sunday. Kirk Cousins hit tight end Kyle Rudolph with a four-yard fade on third and goal on the only drive of overtime to move Minnesota to the next round. And that is your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. So a couple things. One, we mentioned the Alouettes thing. The other, Michael Bishop. We've been promoting to everybody for the last couple days that Michael Bishop would be on the program today. Former Patriots starting quarterback, former Rough Riders starting quarterback, most notably the 08 Western semifinal. I sadly have to report that he suffered a stroke on the weekend. He's conscious. He's with it. But we got a message from his sister. When was it, Clark? Last night or this morning? This morning, that he wouldn't be able to make the appearance today because Michael Bishop suffered a stroke this weekend. Another pro, former pro football player suffering severe health issues, far younger than they should.
Than he should.
But he was at least alert enough to tell his sister, well, I got an interview on Monday. Can you let him know that I can't make it?
Well, no, yeah, that was kind of it. And I was with Clark, who was messaging back and forth. One, he's getting his movement back, which is great. And the second was, he was like, I got an interview to do on Monday. And the way I took it is he was still wanted to do the interview. And she's like, I don't think so. I don't think you're doing it. You got an interview to do. I don't think you're doing an interview. So, like Michael Bishop, and I remember him as a player, he wasn't quitting, right? He always wanted another shot. And so I think he still wanted to do the interview. But so hopefully when he's feeling better, we can have him on the program.
I know that the CFL fans, and particularly Rider fans, love these stories. But I'll never forget, it was August of 2008. Riders were on a bye week. And they were going through all these quarterbacks. They went through Marcus Crandall. They went through Darian Durant. They went through Stephen Giles at the start of that year. And that was the year they started 12-0, but all these guys kept getting hurt. I took the family, wife and kids, to Minot, North Dakota, because it was a bye week. Finally get a summer off, summer weekend, and all of a sudden, the Riders signed Michael Bishop. I'm not in town for it. Internet wasn't really getting going yet, and we didn't cut our vacation short or nothing, but it really upset a lot of guys because Marcus Crandall got cut on the spot. Ken Miller went out and tapped him on the shoulder during stretching and practice and said, we need to see you. You're done. Darian Durant, after that practice, went off on the media or to the media about, we got enough quarterbacks here. Why do you got to sign Michael Bishop for? Of course, they bring him, and he's got that rocket arm, if you remember the story about him, rocket arm. But in the playoff game, he set a CFL record. It was a Saturday in November, division semifinal at Taylor Field against BC. Throws four interceptions in the first quarter alone. But I also remember the players telling me, which was, when I look back at those 20 years with the Riders, it was awesome having those relationships with the players where you would actually, they would tell you things.
Yeah.
And I won't name the players, but they said in a huddle, because Michael Bishop had a grill, he had the visor. You basically couldn't tell what the hell he was saying. So he'd be in the huddle and it'd be
361Z, Black Jets, we made the game on team.
Break. Guys would go to the huddle and the players would be like,
what the hell he just say?
Are they going to the line of scrimmage? They don't know what the play is. And I think that's when they instituted signs for the offense. But that's just the way Michael spoke.
He's kind of like Jameis Winston, right? Goes out, throws the most touchdown passes and the most interceptions. 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. Unbelievable how a guy can be that good offensively when he's dialed in. But also, but that's the big risk, high reward, right? You're going to throw it up. You're going to throw it up a lot, and you're going to have success, but you're going to throw a lot of picks, too. I don't know what you'd rather have, right?
I don't know, but Michael Bishop did just fine for himself as far as a pro career. As I said, started games for the New England Patriots and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Got Jason checking in from Huntsville, Alabama today. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for watching the program. Very much appreciate you. It's sad news today that Michael Bishop suffered a stroke just within the last 24 to 48 hours, but I would, from what I could tell from his family, it is a mild stroke because he's alert enough to notify our producer Clark that he couldn't make it. We are moments away from not only Paul LaPolice joining us live from Ottawa, but also the sale of the Alouettes being announced. And I'll tell you, like, I have no idea. I actually was going to ask the CFL to send me the embargoed statement with the promise that I wouldn't mention it till 10:30. Then I thought, Darren, now I'll just wait for them to make their announcement.
Yeah.
But I hope that it's the Canadians, and I'm not going to discount that it might be the Canadians, because there's been talk for years. Let's consider this for a second. The Maple Leafs own the Argos. The Calgary Flames own the Stampeders. I would love if the BC Lions were purchased by the Vancouver Canucks or the Montreal Canadiens purchased the Canadiens. Now, it's not the Canadiens purchased the Alouettes. It's not obviously unheard of, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to have the local NHL team own the CFL team for stability, for cross-promotion, and maybe for the biggest reason being they are working together, not against each other.
Yeah. No, I agree. You have to work together. You have to. And
well, most markets, they're not.
No, and you need to. I think it's really big. It's such a powerful operation when you can share in the marketing and you can have that common interest. We're seeing it right now with the Rush and the Riders in Saskatchewan. And I know it's not the same ownership group or anything like that. And I don't know how well they're working together, but the Rush are sure doing a nice job of playing nice with the Riders. And when you can use that relationship to promote your games and promote each other, you're just going to grow, right? And for the fans, I think it's a better, you know, relationship for the fans, especially when you can get creative and your Montreal Canadiens ticket can get you a discount on Alouettes tickets, right? And vice versa, you can work together.
Well, 2008 Grey Cup in Montreal, Stampeders Alouettes. The night before the game, the Canadiens retire number 33, owned by Patrick Waugh. Like, just letting off a gigantic stink bomb for the showcase football game for your country the night before. And it's not that they did it to screw over the CFL to the Grey Cup. I guarantee they didn't. Do you know why they did it? Because they never stopped to think about the CFL to the Grey Cup.
Exactly.
Whereas if they were in the same ownership group, that wouldn't happen. So, again, we're moments away from the announcement coming down in Montreal who the new owner is for the Alouettes. By the way, what about the GM talk that we had on Friday? What are your thoughts there? That they capped the salary at $250,000. That's at least $100,000 less than probably what the next GM makes in the CFL.
Yeah, they capped it for now, but a new ownership group can change that in a hurry, can they not? Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the CFL.
This is under the CFL
capping
ownership.
It. Yeah. As the CFL owns the team, if another owner comes in, they might completely flip things. Like, we don't know what's going to happen in Montreal. I don't know how much that ownership group's going to be tied and stuck and tied to Kahari Jones as part of the deal. I would assume there would be, because I would assume the CFL would want that continuity. And as they own the group, I think there'd be some certain conditions that, hey, you're going to retain some of our people at least for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the deal is. And we got to have a smooth transition. You can't just come in and blow things up. So that'll be interesting to see who it's going to be and how it's all going to play out. But this is great for the CFL. The fact that we're talking about it on a Monday morning, big deal. It's a big deal for the league.
I'm sitting here just like the fans, hitting refresh, 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 refresh. I don't see anything from the CFL Twitter feed. I don't see anything from the Alouettes Twitter feed. So let's bring in Paul LaPolice now. And if we have to, Lapo will bust in with a breaking news for Montreal. The new head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks joins us this morning from the nation's capital. I believe that's where you are. Good morning, Lapo. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually in New Hampshire. Trying to relax with the family. And that's why I got my Red Sox gear on and my flannel shirt, trying to be a New Englander.
Well, you will never take the New England out of you, Lapo. And I know how busy it is and it's family time, so I appreciate the time this morning. Let me ask you this. How have the first few weeks been as the head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks?
Yeah, really good. Certainly going through the process before, I think it's an easy thing when it's easier when you've done it before. So there's a monumental list of things that have to happen for you. But, you know, going through the process before, you just know, try to get something done. And once you get that done today, then you can move to the next thing and just keep doing it. So I think it's gone smoothly. You know, certainly getting some of the staff members we've already brought on board has been huge. And that just makes you feel very comfortable. Staffing to me is one of the most important things. Getting coaches that players respect and that guys guys who can make players better. And I think we've done that with our staff.
Well, I'm going to get to the Arbuckle trade in a minute, but you mentioned your staff. I'll be honest, I was surprised when I saw Alex Suber named receivers coach, was he not? And is it Charlie McGee, the running backs coach? These are names in Canadian football, but not necessarily at their position or in the CFL. I mean, Suber is a vet, but talk about those hirings, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so Alex Suber, part of my process of evaluating players and bringing coaches in, you know, I think it's sometimes a mistake to take a player who's just finished playing and then tell him he's going to go coach a position in the Canadian Football League. You know, you got to learn how to be a coach. I think at times there are very few guys who can make that transition. I felt that I always try to track guys in the U.S., and Alex Suber's been coaching for 5 years. Started out at the high school level, then was a graduate assistant at Bethune-Cookman, then was with Casey Crehan for a couple of months, and then he went to Murray State as a Division I scholarship school as the receiver coach for 2 years. So I know we're going to get a guy who, one, can really do a great job of understanding, he can relate to players. He knows the work ethic because he's been a graduate assistant at the college level. And certainly it's great to have a receiver coach who played halfback. So this is a guy who's really spent time getting better as a receiver coach, and his brother's also an offensive coach. So this is a guy who's got a lot of tools, and certainly I'm excited to bring him along, and certainly his name and being a former player in the league will help him with his players.
You know, I'm dying to ask you about the Arbuckle trade, but the coaching staff's construction also fascinates me. So Mike Benavides, the guys in the league are saying, where do Lapo and Benny know each other from? TSN? And I said, well, they've gone against each other for years. That's the biggest thing for me, is the respect shown by you to hire him. Tells me what you think of him.
Yeah, you know, Mike's a good football coach, been a head coach, been a successful defensive coordinator. And certainly been somebody who's got a long career in the Canadian Football League. So I think your coordinators have to have a CFL experience. It's a recipe for disaster if you don't. So certainly bringing Mike on board gives us that. And he's certainly, you know, he and I have been friends a long time. And certainly the TSN days, we got even closer. Having him, and then Bob Dice is, again, one of my best friends in the business. You know, to be able to retain him, he was one of the, you know, he's one of the most well-respected coaches on this staff in the previous year. So we're excited to have him. You mentioned Charlie Eager. Charlie's been a guest coach for me the last couple of years, came from the college ranks and has been successful 20 years in college football. So that's a guy we can bring in who's going to, you know, he's new our system from training camp past 2 years. He'll be able to teach our players very well, and certainly bring in, you know, Hard Knocks veteran Bob Wiley back into the fold. Somebody that would be our third time together, and knows what we want to do system-wise, knows how to protect the quarterback, and knows how to run the football in the ways that we've done it. So, yeah, I'm pretty pleased with the staff.
Those would be some pretty cool coaching meetings. Are you done then, or you got some more position coaches to go?
I got three positions left. So, you know, we're talking to a bunch of guys right now, and we still will go down to, I'll go down to the CFL coaches convention next week or this weekend, do some interviews down there, and then try to finalize the last couple of spots. But, you know, we were going to take our time with these last couple of spots. We really, you know, when we got the first couple of spots, we want to make sure we get them as soon as possible.
One more from me before I turn Darren loose on you, Lapo, and that is the Arbuckle trade on Friday. How excited were you to get the guy that many feel was the top quarterback entering free agency?
Yeah, you know, certainly watching every game he played, I thought he did a lot of things very well. And put, you know, he really put his team in a position to be successful. He stayed on the field. He threw the ball very well, and scored touchdowns and put his teammates in position to be successful. When it was a pressure situation, he got the ball out of his hand. When it was a zone blitz situation, he was able to find checkdowns. Yeah, I was impressed with him, and we felt, you know, we need the more opportunities we can get guys into the building. We felt it was a reasonable enough trade to, you know, spend time with him and be able to now talk to him and his family and tell him about the good things that Ottawa has.
Paul, I'm sorry. I know you're a New England guy. I am sorry about the weekend. I don't know if you're a Patriots guy, too. I assume it's all encompassing. Yeah. So please answer my question.
Two great NFL, you know, 2 days of great NFL football with certainly the Saints game and everything. So, yeah, it's pretty outstanding football. Disappointing for the Patriots. Now, as somebody who works in the business, I actually kind of hate being back here in New England because everyone's like, oh, the Patriots suck. They're terrible. I'm like, hold on a second. You know, they've been pretty damn good for a long time. The New England fans are very spoiled, so I try to calm them down when they – like when the last week of the playoffs, my friend had tickets to the playoff game. So I sold them. The Patriots stink. I'm like, come on, hold on. You guys are so spoiled in here in New England.
I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, though, too. So, you know, I like Tom, but – The coaches were a focus in that game. I want to get your thoughts on that. The whole delay of game thing, Vrabel, Belichick, he was upset. How much does a coach, you know, are you sitting there being like, you know, picking, you know, taking that and liking that part of the game, using the, you know, the rules to your advantage? How did you kind of watch that go down?
Yeah, you're always trying to watch certain scenarios and situations and think about, oh, we should be doing that, or that's something we should do. Yeah, especially as a play caller, you're always critiquing, oh, they called that at the 1 yard line. Why didn't they just do a QB sneak? You know, a lot of my friends, it's hard because my friends will come up to me after yesterday. I saw a bunch of college friends and they're like, hey, would you have done this? What about McDaniels doing this? And I'm like, it's hard for me to, you know, see a couple clips of the game and be able to decide what their game plan should be. So, but you're always as a coach trying to analyze, hey, if I get put in that situation, what am I doing? I actually have a little notes sheet on my phone that if something comes up when I'm watching a game, I just plug it into my phone to make sure we analyze it and cover it as a staff.
So you must be a major Detroit Lions fan though, right? Because you and Matt Patricia go way, way back. You must have had a spot in your heart for the Lions this year, I would think.
Yeah, you know, I just don't spend a lot of time with the NFL. Like, it's usually our season and then basically college football, so I barely know what's going on in the NFL. You know, so certainly, I know Matty Paddle, you know, I'm reading a Belichick book right now, talks about his history, and he talks, you know, people forget, like, it took him 4 years in Cleveland to get that thing turned around. And so I think sometimes it's really hard nowadays where people want you to win year one. And, you know, Belichick's one of the best coaches there ever was, and took him three to four years to get Cleveland rolling. And then, you know, then the team moved and, you know, then they moved on from him. So, you know, Matty's got to, you know, he's got to get better players, continue to get his systems in place, and hopefully some things go his way.
Well, Paul, you're a busy guy, too. There are a few busier guys than CFL head coaches that I've known. So thanks for your time this morning. All the best in 2020. You know we're watching close, and I appreciate the time, my friend.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate having me on. Take care.
Paul Appley is joining us from New Hampshire this morning, and that's one of the great things about this show is seeing the coaches somewhat out of their element.
Yeah.
That's Paul Appley's right there. Well, wait a minute. The red and black plaid. He would have been wearing that anyways, not just because he's the head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And the ball cap and all the rest. But you're getting to see the guys in their natural environment. And it's also cool, too, that, you know, they say that they're not following the NFL as closely. They can't. They don't have time. They've got their own programs to run.
No, they do. Yeah, and it's tough. But he's dialed in. It's not like they're sitting there. What it's hard for us to realize when we're not in that environment is that when you're locked in as a pro athlete, or you're a coach, or you're a leader in your industry, you don't got time for everything else. You're not leading a normal life. It's not a 9-to-5 where you can sit down in front of the TV and just watch TV, catch up on what's going on, watch all the games. You're trying to watch all the CFL games, and you're trying to watch all your guys, and you're watching them again and again. And then you're watching some maybe college football and trying to figure out who might slip through the cracks of the NFL draft or the NFL and come back up. And you're doing all that kind of stuff. That takes enough of your time. There's not enough time. You know, you try and think of in your 9-to-5 watching this show right now, you get your 9-to-5 job, you get your family, you got these other things to deal with. Do you have time to watch every NFL game or every CFL? It's tough. So he's dialed in completely to the CFL for sure.
Right. And that's one of the misnomers that the folks, the viewers and fans need to realize. It's just like when I was for so many years broadcasting in the Western Hockey League, you never got to see NHL because you were playing the same nights. Right. And so then maybe you'd PVR your favorite team, and then you'd come home, and then you got kids that you're looking after. You're not watching PVR games.
No,
and so I've watched more NFL, CFL, and NHL sports in the last year than I have in 25 years.
It's a full-time job. It is fun as a fan to check the box scores and see who scored and follow your guys. But when you got to do it every day, and you got to cover every league, and you got to know everything that's going on, it becomes a full-time job. It's completely different. But yeah, when you're in the dub, you're checking every score. You got to know what everybody's doing, checking every guy. And you don't got time to do it at the NHL. Maybe on a night off, you can follow once or twice.
So we enjoy the, is this hour going by fast or what? We enjoy the viewer interaction. The guys from the WHL Pats podcast write in and he says, hey, the trade deadline's on Thursday. Which Pats do you think get moved? Fan favorite Max Paddock? Well, go back and watch the opening segment where we discussed that, if you don't mind, because we did talk about that in the Flooring Superstore rollout. We've got breaking news from the Alouettes, and we'll talk about that when we come back. New ownership in Montreal. One of our guests today, Michael Bishop, former starting quarterback for the New England Patriots and the Saskatchewan Roughriders, suffered a stroke in the last 24 to 48 hours. Sends his regards. He's alert, but he was unable to join us today. So we'll talk about these and other things when we come back after the break, but there's a whole lot going on this Monday morning. Thanks for joining us for Caliber Coffee. We'll be right back on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Got the news release here from the Canadian Football League. And boy, has this timing worked out perfectly. Right after the LaPolice interview, breaking news. Here it is, the Canadian Football Club. See, the Montreal Alouettes have new owners. I'm reading this from the CFL news release. The CFL club has been purchased by S&S Sports Co., a corporate entity owned by Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern, entrepreneurs with a track record of hard work and success, as well as a deep passion for Canadian football. Spiegel said in a news release, "It's amazing for us to be part of the Alouettes, a storied franchise that has meant so much to the people of Montreal and Quebec, and so much to the team we have followed all our lives. We see this as not only as a challenge, but also as something that can be a lot of fun. We want Alouette fans to know we share their desire to see this team win on and off the field." Sid Spiegel is the founder and chairman of the board of Crawford Steel. Gary is the company's CEO. Their previous investments in Quebec include steel plants in Longueuil and Rouyn-Noranda and real estate holdings. They now want to build a championship football team and the best fan experience. Stern will serve as the Alouettes' lead governor on the CFL Board of Governors. He said in this release, "Our first priority is putting in place a new GM and a new president who can make the right football and business decisions. We do tremendous business in Quebec, and we have great respect for the province." They describe themselves as CFL fans for life. And CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi presided over the process that led to today's announcement. He said, "These gentlemen emerged with the best offer in hand and the best interests of the Alouettes and their fans at heart. They have a genuine passion for football in Montreal and the resolve and resources to make the team successful over the long term." So I'll say it one more time. Sid Spiegel and Gary Stern are the new owners of the Montreal Alouettes, and it sounds like a red letter day in Montreal. They seem like good guys, And no more looking back.
Yeah, no more looking back. I think it's great that you've got guys who are excited. That's the biggest thing. They want to build the experience. They want to build a championship team in Montreal and get back to, you know, that whole decade where they really just owned the CFL. They want to get back to that. And so that's really great to hear. You know, you said deep-rooted. I thought you were going to say deep pockets. Well, it sounds like they've got that too, which is important for owning a franchise. You got to be able to take care of it financially. So that's exciting for Montreal. The big thing now will be getting the president, the GM in place, and we'll see how quickly these guys can roll through that.
And a couple things on that, too. I am by no means a business expert, but I've learned a lot about it the last couple of years. And one thing with this Alouettes for sale, from the business friends of mine that are outside Quebec that have the wherewithal and resources to buy the Alouettes, they said doing business in Quebec is a whole other world because of bureaucratic red tape, tax breaks for local owners versus outside owners, that kind of thing. The Alouettes are no different. They're a Quebec business. For instance, some people said with Gary Drummond, one of the owners behind this Halifax Atlantic Schooners situation, they said, well, why are you spending all this time in Halifax? Just go buy the Alouettes. And the note that I got from somebody close to Drummond was, you don't understand. It's very difficult to do business in Quebec if you're not from there. And these two guys are from there. Yeah. Actually, a lot of the groups interested in buying the team were from there. The Eric Lapointe group, the Lenkov brothers, all those guys ended up being a bunch of bunk. Like, who, by the way, said Stern and Spiegel were going to be the next owners of the Alouettes?
Nobody. Nobody. Yeah.
So good work by the CFL for keeping this under wraps for as long as they did, too.
For sure. And now you get to control the message a little bit, and you know, no problems with people, you know, having opinions on it and stuff, but you know, you can find, you know, when you can deliver the message and introduce your guys and then let people react to it, I really like that a lot. And the CFL, you know, kudos to the CFL for the way they've gone about this process, but also getting it done early enough. Obviously the earlier the better, but now it would be really great to get the president, get the GM in place quickly, leading up to free agency. Because you're going to have that window where you're going to be able to talk to free agents and offer contracts ahead and get that stuff done in place. So that's going to be very interesting. I really, really feel that they have to get their president, who I would imagine would be president first, GM second, because they didn't announce what order that would happen, I don't think. But I think they really have to get that done before the end of the month. I really do.
Nelson writes in as well and says, Ambrosi apologized to the media at the press conference for all the uncertainty on the news around this announcement. And I don't think that's Randy's fault. You know, a lot of times when you're doing these business deals, and we've done some, things go sideways. Handshakes don't mean anything. And I'm not saying that's what happened with the Alouettes, but it just, wouldn't it be nice if you could just open and shut a business deal this large? It's not going to happen. And obviously there was maybe some guys that didn't have the resources that said they did. Who knows? But I'm going to stick to this, that Randy Ambrosi is a good guy who knows what he's doing and has the best intentions for not only the CFL, Canadian football, but their member clubs. And what have they said a million times? They were going to take their time and do it right.
Yep.
And I think they got the right guys.
I think they got the right guys. And saying that, that means a lot to me, taking your time to do it right. Because, you know, I think I've told you this in business, and I don't want anybody to get scared, but the saying, you know, that's kind of stuck with me, hire slow and fire fast. Hire slow, fire fast. Make the right decisions, but don't be afraid to say, look it, I made a mistake with that decision. Hire slow and fire fast. So yeah, taking your time, doing it right is important. And then realizing you made a mistake quickly is important too. But
you know, and you mentioned too, you made a good point. I don't know if it was in the break or on the air, but you said about that cap in the general manager's salary at $250,000. You don't think that'll stand now under new ownership.
Doesn't have to.
Probably won't.
Doesn't have to. Yeah, it doesn't have to stand. It can. It could have been in the paperwork that with the CFL to say, look at, this is part of it. You're going to cap it at this, and it's going to allow you to do this. And, you know, maybe the CFL with guys who I understand have not owned a pro sports franchise before. So maybe there's part of a handholding process to say, look, we're going to help you ease into this, and we have to protect our team. So we're not going to let you spend more than $250,000 on a GM, and you're going to do this and this. And slowly, after year one or year two, the training wheels will be off and you'll be completely on your own to do it as you see fit, or maybe it's just hit the ground running. Those are the questions I would be asking right now if I was in the press conference.
Ian Daniels writing in on the Facebook wall. He says, Chris Jones, president, GM, head coach. I know he's just spitballing, but wouldn't that be something? Is there somebody with a better resume?
Who's more qualified?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Well, certainly to be general manager.
No, for sure.
I don't know about president, but why the hell not? I think Chris Jones could do whatever he put his mind to. He's already coached once with the Alouettes. That was his first CFL team. I would not immediately discount that. As a matter of fact, I would put more stock into that than the report we saw online this morning that the Cleveland Browns are talking with Ryan Dinwiddie about a head coaching job there. Like, I can't even... What?
I know. I know. But,
what?
But the only thing, again, I had the same reaction, and I
don't tell me you're buying this.
No, and I don't take it seriously. But my mind can find a way to somehow buy into it. In the fact that things have been so crazy in Cleveland for so long, and it feels like they've tried everything, that why not give a guy his first shot here, and he's, you know... You've heard lots of great things about Ryan Dinwiddie. Let's see. It can't be any worse, right? Let's give it a shot. Try something completely unheard of. But I don't think it'll happen. I can't see it.
It's actually the way that you say it. The only reason that I would say that you're right, that they're at least talking to him, let alone that they're going to hire him, is that that ownership group, the Haslam family, just seems completely ridiculous, like bonkers, like romper room.
Yeah.
Which we haven't used that term in a long time. And I've been part of some... teams where it's so wonky that you sit around sometimes as a staff and go, did that just happen? And that's what it seems is going on in Cleveland with Jimmy Haslam and the Browns.
I know.
But producer Clark said in our morning meeting, our pregame meeting here, they just gave an opportunity to Freddie Kitchens as a first-year head coach.
Yeah.
He'd at least had some NFL assistant coaching experience before that. I'm not joking, everybody.
No.
There's a report, CFL News, the Twitter feed retweeted it, that the Cleveland Browns are talking to Ryan Dinwiddie. It's on the internet. It's got to be true, right?
Got to be true. Here's what happened, okay? You're the Cleveland Browns ownership group, and you're sitting around the living room just like this, having coffee, and it's Christmas time, and everyone's asking, what are you going to do now? How are you going to get this to get OBJ? You got Baker Mayfield. You got all these great players. You got one of the top running backs in the NFL. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And he looks at his, 10-year-old, nephew-in-law who happens to live up in Canada. And he says, what would you do? Well, they're really excited about this guy in Toronto. His name's Ryan Dinwiddie. Let's give him a call.
He's from Boise.
Like, I don't know how that went down. That's all I can think.
Tyler writes in. Tyler says, Chris Jones, parle-t-il français? Do you know what that means?
You speak French?
Does he talk French? Doesn't matter. You know what he can talk? He can talk football. Pretty sure Kahari Jones doesn't talk French. Nick Lewis has just joined the bunker here. He'll be with us an hour, too. The fans are saying Chris Jones has taken over the Alouettes. Nick, what do you think?
Is he?
Is he? No, maybe.
But the fact is that everybody, there's credibility to it, right? Is that you'll always question and think, that could be possible. Ryan Dinwiddie to Cleveland, do you hear that one this morning? Yeah, I can't wait till hour two.
And as a matter of fact, Cliffy D. Pine will be joining us from the Alternative.com blog. Cliffy D. Pine covers the Alouettes better than anybody else. And I'm looking forward to that chat in hour two. By the way, I mentioned, Jay Glazer of Fox is reporting that it's official. Mike McCarthy will be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. What else you got
there? Can I read something on that?
Yeah.
Adam Schefter. This is his tweet, and I think this is amazing. You talk about it being a family. We've talked about that last week. That
supposedly.
It's a family, and that's why, Jason Garrett was around so long, and it's really hard to let him go because he's part of the family. And they had three meetings with him. Anyways, this is from Adam Schefter this morning. New Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy stayed over at Jerry Jones's house on Saturday night.
Had a sleepover.
Per a source. And the source said, once you stay at Jerry's house, he doesn't lose his guy. I don't want to know what happened on the sleepover at Jerry Jones's house.
By the way, how big do you think Jerry Jones's house is? Just so you know, it's not a little three-bedroom bungalow in Whitmore Park.
The question is, you know, one staircase or three?
Oh, exactly. It's probably got a water slide.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Probably like the Playboy Mansion. That's how I picture it.
Got trees. Probably got a grotto.
Yeah. He's the NFL's Hugh Hefner.
I can't hear you, Clark. That's probably a good thing. Couple minutes. What did you say, Clark? Oh, a bowling alley. Do you know that or are you just guessing? Darian Durant's house in Atlanta has a basketball court, so I would believe just about anything.
Yeah, I would too.
The WHL trade deadline, for the people that were asking, the guys from the Pats podcast, I don't know what your take, like with the Max Paddock thing, you missed it off the start. I'll say it again. I texted a WHL GM this weekend about, are you in on Paddock? What's the asking price? He didn't even want to talk about it. This is what I saw this weekend. Max Paddock got lit up by the worst team in the league. That's what I saw twice. So will he be moved? Clearly they're trying. But Edmonton's got their goalie. PA's got their goalie. Who's left? The host Kelowna Rockets would be the only one that I can think of.
Yeah, they need a goaltender for sure. PA's got theirs, and I'm pretty sure they're all in now with him.
Oh, yeah.
I think Kelowna's probably one. There might be a team in the Central. I think Lethbridge might be interested in looking at a veteran because they're a good hockey team, too. Or do they go completely the other way and flip Kalen Addison and Dylan Cousins and really stock up for, you know, next year, the year after, because they got some good young pieces, too. I don't know. It'd be fun.
Next hour, Nick Lewis right here on the bunker. Darren Bombing from TSN Winnipeg and Alouettes reporter, blogger Cliffy D. Pine. The Owls have new owners. The Cleveland Browns could have a new coach. We got a lot of things to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.